Ilia Martel. Say her name.
Welcome to 2C1C, the Game of Thrones podcast founded in 2010 by myself, Will Lentz, Greg Atkinson, and Brett Zeiler. Now hosted by myself, Daryl Lloyd, and Kyle Vansel, with guest appearances by past hosts and more. Many thanks to GRRM and FFG for making this possible, CardGameDB for our hosting, and Josh Woodward for the Creative Commons music you hear in this episode. Welcome to Season 4.5.
Like my attempt at his, like, faux Dornish accent?
That was awful.
Yeah, boy, wasn't it, though?
Yeah, that was really bad. We're going to have to
re-record
that.
That was almost as good as Daryl's Australian accent.
Dude, it wasn't Australian. It was British.
Yeah,
it sounded so British. All the British guys told me, they, like, privately messaged me. They're like, man, that was insane. That totally sounded like one of those British guys. Whoa. Yeah.
You hate all
they did, man.
There's no way they talked to you.
They're like, whoa, the only way I knew you weren't British is because you didn't call a cookie a biscuit. Whoa. I know, it was crazy.
I do want to point out, I got a very nice, short little message from Nate French the other day, who evidently does still listen to the show from time to time. He pointed out that there is a word that rhymes with Australian. Mammalian. So, there you go. We'll work that into the rhyme next time.
I'm just impressed that Nate bothered to listen to this show.
But anyway, welcome, listeners, to another grandiose episode. See, we're upgrading from a fine episode now that Brett's not here.
Right.
Yeah, this is Two Champs and a Chump. I'm Will, also
I'm
with
Gar- me. Oh, damn it. Damn it.
Wow.
Fuck. We're going to do it live.
It's the only way to do it.
Thing. God, I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Konnichiwa, bitches!
I thought that you were going to restart.
Oh.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. Alright, how about we give it a couple seconds and I really will just restart it, okay?
Oh, this is awesome. Oh, this is so
fuck it. Let's just keep going, Daryl. Let's just... whatever.
Leave it. Just leave it.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Aaron. Pulse Glazer, and I don't know what the fuck just happened.
You know, that's actually probably good. you may not want to know what happened. But, yeah, listeners may notice that new voice right there. We decided that, you know, the show's intro had just been almost accurate for too long, and it was really time to screw it up again. Now, really what it is I'd been mulling this over for a while, adding a fourth co-host again, so that if someone needs to be gone for, you know, work or an emergency comes up or whatnot, we can still roll with three hosts and we're not knocked down to two and then scrambling to find a guest host. Because, as listeners have told me, and I've noticed, when there's just two of us, it gets kind of boring. And heaven
super
forbid
boring.
It's just me by myself again. Let's never, ever let that happen again.
That would be the worst.
There was
if
an episode
that, the
like
description,
that.
I wouldn't even open it.
Yeah.
You didn't
mention
that I kidnapped your dog. Well, wait, no.
Well, you told me not to, or you'd send me his eye.
Well, dogs don't need eyes, it's fine.
Okay, but they operate mostly off of smell anyway.
Yep, neither do vipers. Ba-jump.
Ooh, sick burn. Sick burn.
Slick, right?
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, Aaron had guest hosted before. I know he's a big fan of the show. He stays up to speed playing, honestly, probably more than I do, because he plays during the week on Octagon. And I confine my Thrones generally to the weekends. So I think he'll be a solid addition to the show, and he's a teacher, so he likes to expound anyway.
Yeah, I don't know how to shut up, as you noticed last time.
This week, I think we're going to hit on a bit of a seasons discussion prompted by some stuff that Kyle and I were talking about the other day. And we're going to more officially debut a new segment that was Kyle's idea. Hit on some painted table, and of course, the always there, props and slops. So, seasons. Let's have at it.
So, what do you guys think is the worst seasons agenda?
Oh, I mean, it's completely Song of Fire.
Yeah. Is there a way to make that good yet?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some stuff, and I think the big perk for it is, I mean, as Will said, a lot of people lean towards Kings of Winter, and I think even just for that, the shutdown factor almost tips it into being worthwhile as a meta play these days. For me. Well, I mean, I've run it and had some success. It's not terribly awful.
It just doesn't do anything. Like, I mean, yeah, it shuts down winter. But if you look at, like, the stats, winter's not really doing... I mean, casual winter's doing an awful lot. Casual winter's all over the place. But Kings of isn't as many places that you'd want, like, to shut down their agenda. There's a couple of seasons cards. Is it worth giving up an agenda slot and all the things that come from the agenda for that?
I mean, it is most certainly the like I said, the weaker of the two. Like, I don't think anyone debates that if we look at just straight-up power. You really do have to... I mean, you'd have to get absolutely wrecked in the season game to either go Song of Fire. Now, I have seen some Targ decks that play it, and I haven't gone into looking as to why they made that choice, but... I mean, and it's going to be a yin-yang thing. I think as... If Kings of Summer does pick up and you start seeing maybe some Rush decks or some Targ things or Martell or Barra, some of the houses that tend to do well with that, start coming around again, I think you'll see the winner side swing back strong to the songs. And if that happens, I think it just comes down to a meta play. If you need it to never be winter, if there's something you absolutely fear, having that comfort, I think, is really, really important.
I think the thing that kind of is the sticker for me is that, like, you guys both kind of alluded to it there, in both of your statements, but didn't quite just come out and say where that overlap is, which is that the agenda doesn't do anything other than that meta play. I mean, yes, it raises your draw cap, but that by itself doesn't do anything in the game. It doesn't get you any extra cards unless you've already somehow gotten to the cards in your draw deck that do that, compared to Kings of Summer, that is drawing you more cards. Of course, this is all assuming that you've already gotten the way to make it your appropriate agenda, or sorry, your appropriate season, or either of the winter agendas, which are forcing discards of some kind or another. But Song of Fire just sits there and, yeah, probably wins you the seasonal war if that particular meta, you know, game outside the game, that sense of meta, you know, really winds up being a big deal.
Well, a big part of my problem with it is Targ is the only house that really ever runs this, right? Like, Lannister has something, but you're giving up the Brigands and all sorts of good stuff. So Targ is the only thing that ever really runs it. And when Targ runs it, they want to run Burn, usually, because they have all those great Summer Burn cards. But once you're running those Summer Burn cards, like, it builds on itself, then you're going to want some kind of influence. You're probably not running Summer Shadows, you're running or Summer Shadows with some kind of influence. And it's very easy to run into a bunch of draw you can't really use, or run into a bunch of influence and bury your draw. Finding that balance without, like, the inherent draw of the other agenda is very difficult.
Yeah, you're overloading your draw deck on those draw cards, to try to accommodate that, which can, you know, leave you in those clumps, rather than just having it built in like the King agenda.
Yeah, the card slots that you free up with the... I mean, that's part of the strength, and it's something I think a lot of people forget when you talk about some of these agendas and why they do so well, is having those slots where you don't have to worry about that draw, necessarily committing as many cards to it, frees you up to do so many other things. It's part of what makes Bloodthirst so good, is that you don't... You now have all these slots to do more with, put more impact cards in your deck. Yeah, I think other Lannister is the only... I had a Lanny Song of Fire deck that would consistently hit the four cards. But other than it, I mean, like you said, it's hard to justify going to it. And like you said, except for this outside of the meta play. I think the disparity in the more interesting conversation lies with the Winters. I think those abilities are much more comparable. I think they're both equally powerful effects depending on what you're trying to go for. And I think the real choice lies on that side of the season. I think summer players are 9 times out of 10, unless you do some quirky thing, going to go with the King. But
yeah. And of course, Kyle's kind of, he's talking about it there. This is actually the conversation that prompted the seasonal discussion in general. Kyle and I are talking about the merits of the two winter agendas, as far as combating the, shall we say, insane card advantage of the river plots. So seemed like there was some good discussion to be had there.
Well, I think that a part of what makes winter so much so much better than summer is that the winter agenda itself like works on its own. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything else. It's just at the end of dominance, each player drops down to 4. Whereas with the plus one to each player's draw cap, well, you now have to work for that. And there were no real cards printed that allowed you to draw more cards if it was summer or anything like that, or like, you know, cards that were like at the end of dominance.
Oh, and the
Gilly,
King.
Gilly did what?
You still have to win.
The old Gilly?
You have to win
the summer.
With
I'm talking about that there's just the summer Gilly, that just like a power and intrigue and draw a card if you want to challenge with it. I know there's a couple things, but there wasn't really anything printed in that cycle to really make you even want to run summer. And all the other stuff has existed for a super long time.
Oh, the King's Road. The King's Road is awesome.
Oh, there is the King's Road that draws you one card. I guess that's how
that just makes you want to play summer. That doesn't necessarily make you want to play Song of
Exactly.
Fire.
Exactly. It's instead of like draw two cards or something. So the and since one agenda makes the other season impossible, or both agendas make the other season impossible unless you're running the season's agenda, the safe route is probably just to go with the winter one, because there's already good decks that use it, and there's not a lot of work you have to put into it. So, I mean, that's the problem right there.
I think that's about to change in a big way. I think Kings of Summer, and sorry to switch from Song, because Song is kind of crap. I think we all more or less agreed, right?
Right.
Yeah.
King of Summer.
Not really, but all right.
Okay, sorry.
It's fine.
We'll come back.
I mean, no, you're good. It's fine.
Well, Song of Summer, if you can keep it summer with the King's Road, between Gilly, if you're using Rivers, anything else, you can get, like, Bloodthirst level draw. And the meta might, like, be using that for control right now, but Harrenhal is coming in, like, 2 or 3 weeks. And when you have 50 cards on the board with all your gold from summer and all your draw from Rivers and King's Road, you're getting, like, 4 to 5 cards a turn, you're going to have to be able to cancel pretty much anything you want. And that means that, like, all those aggro and rush builds that we used to see at Kings of Summer can come back in a big way.
Which would make you want to run Song of Ice over Kings of Winter.
Very true.
It would.
Yeah, as the season's decks like rise in popularity and prominence, like that battle becomes more and more important.
Yeah. Now, I don't know that they are necessarily rising that much in prominence right now, aside from folks looking at combating the rivers. And that's where this discussion came up. So, I already know where Kyle stands, but I'm going to go ahead and poll here. Which of those agendas do you guys prefer for that sort of thing? Or do you think that you know, neither agenda is really the right way to go about that anyway.
Oh, to battle, like, bloodthirst?
It could be bloodthirst. I'm just thinking, you know, large card advantage. Generally, that's powered by rivers, certainly in bloodthirst at the moment. But I've seen other houses and decks wanting to do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, the winter... All right, let's do kings first, because kings is going to be good in almost any deck, as long as you're not running a ton of draw. Like, cutting their draw down by one every turn, and especially with the winter kings road, if you use that, you can use something to discard some cards. A lot of winter effects tend to get rid of cards, or disable, like, your opponent's effects. Things like Mira or... Wintertime Marauders. All that stuff goes really well with Kings of Winter. Kings of Winter fits everywhere. Like, it seems like it wouldn't fit in Lannister because they have so much draw, but it's even been good in Lannister. It's one of the more versatile agendas in the game. There's a reason it always places so well.
Well, I'll add in on that I think, personally, one of the huge draws of that Kings of Winter agenda is that it's not just any old discard, it's random discard, which, I think is much more effective than just allowing that person to keep the cards that they want turn after turn. Now, be that a Rule by Decree, be that Song of Ice, whatever it is, or Preston, then they are always keeping the cream of the crop, whatever they want the most that's going to hurt you the most and help them. The random discard, on the other hand, sure, its effectiveness can go down if they have, you know, a 17-card hand or whatever. But if you can keep the hand size somewhere somewhat reasonable, then you have a chance then of hitting whatever it is that they're wanting to hold on to. I was just going to say, I like that sort of thing against these super controlled decks, particularly Bloodthirst, which is, you know, what I was indeed kind of thinking about when I started tinkering with this Greyjoy deck. You know, if they're wanting to sit there and control your challenges with Red Vengeance and Question Claim and so on, well, sure, that's the stuff that they are able to go ahead and hold on to in their four cards. On the other hand, if I'm discarding stuff at random from their hand, then I may get to actually pull some of that stuff.
Well, and you can make that kind of effect even meaner, because, like, there's other cards that do what King's Winner does. So, if you're not running a lot of draw, like that Stark deck that Dark Match and I built ran, like, no draw, you can run Rule by Decree that'll get them down to four. You can run the new Preston, the really old Preston that discards them. And at that point, then your random discard is really, like, almost certainly going to hit something good. Because they've already kept their good stuff, and now you're guaranteeing yourself to hit more of their good stuff.
Yeah.
But that's just one turn. I mean, that's the nice thing about the Song of Winter is that you're constantly forcing them to make that decision. Yeah. I've been playing some games with the Rivers, and yeah, you know the Rule by Decree is coming. Because it's almost a necessity to kind of run it now if you don't have some other kind of mass hand control. And, yeah, you just deal with it, and then you just come back over the top, and now you have to wait seven turns for them to do it again. The song puts you in a position where, yes, you're not getting it from your agenda, but let's say you're getting it from the King's Road, let's say you're getting it through heavy intrigue challenges, through everything, you are forcing them to either play those cards or lose them. You're not allowing them to hold on and sit back and hang on to three paper shields or a bunch of cancel or two red vengeances or what have you. You're constantly forcing them to make that decision. And I think that those decks with these rivers are already somewhat difficult to pilot. The more decision points you can force onto your opponent, the better shot you stand of forcing them to play mistakes, forcing them to be cut out of position, being able to take advantage when it's your turn to flip the game.
Yeah, but if you're playing against a deck that is heavy control events, those sort of stuff that you're talking about pulling right now, with the song agenda, you're giving them the chance to keep that and for sure have it to use against you on that next challenge phase, you know, unless you are putting an awful lot of challenge pressure on them, so that they use them all up by actual play. And if they're using them by actual play, they are denying you something. Maybe not always, you know, the absolute most optimal thing, but they're still getting that use out of it. With the random discard, it's not a guarantee that they do get to keep, you know, a hold of that. Again, they could go over the top, like you said.
What are the odds you pull the thing they need?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Again, they could go over the top if you let them really get out there. But you do have that rule by decree. I mean, if you knock them down to four on, say, turn two, which was kind of my common play over the weekend when I was playing around with this deck, then they're down to four. I always had at least four or less by then myself. And it was winter, so they get a random discard out of the four that they kept. They're down to three. They lost something good, for sure. Draw, back up to five. Maybe they got one more off of a river on turn two, so they're at six. But if they don't play anything at all that turn, that's probably unlikely. They're probably playing two or three, so they're back. Let's say they play two, they're back down to four. If I win even one challenge, it's probably going to be intrigue that I try to get through. I'm going to have a King's Road triggering off of that. That's two more cards. Man, I don't know. Like, it seemed like I was hitting a random discard between the agenda, King's Roads, intrigue challenges, and the old Queen Alanis Greyjoy, that I was hitting random discards of three cards a turn pretty regularly. And
okay, but would you rather have three cards a turn and one shot down to four with rule by decree, or would you rather be constantly putting them to four and get two?
The three cards a turn, honestly, I'm almost certain.
Yeah, I would definitely rather have the three random.
The two random?
And
that's
one shot.
That's boring that you're going to get three cards a turn. I don't know why we are so hard to pushing Kings of Winter over Song of Ice. Song of Ice is very effective.
Super effective.
It's super effective. I know, right? It's
out.
I mean, random discard is very powerful. Kings of Winter has been really good for a long time. I don't know if we're giving Song of Ice a legitimate chance, though. And I think that it's one of the better answers against Bloodthirst. I can say, you know, firsthand that it definitely is. Whenever they're refilling their hand, and they can. They can refill their hand not only with the rivers, but they can also get everything back anyways. Keeping them at four, I think, is a better option, a more realistic option than hoping that you're going to randomly discard something.
Well, maybe, but I can say, as far as, again, this keeps coming back to Bloodthirst, I did play twice on Sunday against Brett Zeiler's Bloodthirst, which I'm sure was 95% a list that he found online somewhere that won a tournament. But, I mean, that's fine. That means it's a pretty tested list, and Brett is not a poor player by any means. Now, two games is a small sample size, I readily admit, but Kings of Winter crushed Bloodthirst in two games. Like, by turn three, he said, you know, this game is going nowhere, I can't keep cards in my hand, it's not happening. Now, I did not have Preston, old Preston, in this deck as an oversight on my part. I need to add him. And the reason why is because, the way I see it anyway, is he gives you the same advantages that Song of Ice does and still lets you have the advantage of Kings of Winter. Plus,
yeah,
you know, King's Roads and whatnot. He is. He's not completely.
And how many of them are you going to run?
He's not completely invulnerable.
Two.
Probably two. It's great. Yeah, in this case.
Bruno says two. I'm running two.
Yeah. But on the flip side, if you're running Song of Ice, you don't really have a card that you can just add to the deck to mimic Kings of Winter that Kings of Winter can't already run to add to theirs, right? So, here, I think I did a poor job of wording that just now. If you
I see what you're saying. Yeah, well, everything that Kings of the Song of Ice can do, Kings of Winter can do.
Right.
And I get
plus
that argument.
What Kings of Winter does. On the other hand,
right.
You know, like they can run a, like, okay, Song of Ice can add Alanis to that deck, to mimic Kings of Winter. That's fine. That helps them for sure. But Kings of Winter, it's tough flipping back and forth between those two names, can also run her, and it adds to what they're doing. On the other hand, sure, if you're running Song of Ice and you add Preston to that deck, which mimics that effect, you don't get any additional effect out of it. It's still just down to four.
Sure, well, but let's say that you're in a position, you blow your rule by decree on turn two, and that's not blow, but you use it. So now you're in a position, let's say they can stall you out in this turn four or five, and those rivers are really starting to rock, and they're putting six cards a turn in their hand, between draw effects and the rivers. Or they're bouncing the Dirty Girl back and forth, whatever trick they're using, Floodwaters, whatever. Point is, they're now filling your hand. Your picks are just drops in the bucket, whereas Song of Ice is at least going to make that manageable, because they cannot hold on to all their tricks and everything they want to. You're forcing them into choices.
How many cards are you really expecting to discard that with that down to four every turn?
A ton. Ton.
Is
like,
that three or four? Is that well, 10?
Four plus. Wait, I've watched
every turn, four plus.
I would I'd probably say at least three to four. And
three
that's
to
just
four.
On the objective.
If it's
that's
three
not
to four, I will take three random every single day of the week.
But you still get two. You still get the King's Road. You still get Alanis. I'm saying I get all of that plus everything minus one.
And with the ability to turn off Summer.
So, but wait, here,
which
that
could come in
problem.
Handy.
It could. I agree.
The big problem is that these decks don't care about Summer. But the better Bloodthirst, like, I worked on Alex's original deck with him for quite a while. Like, I was running Bloodthirst all through store championships. I beat the shit out of every Song of Ice I played but one. You just run two Ravens, and you've got enough stall that it doesn't matter. If this gets big in the meta, two Black Ravens just show up in decks, and they've got so much draw, they're going to see their Black Ravens. Like, you're going to time for yours to try and keep them low, and they're going to see their Black Ravens, and then unless you get lucky, it's their game.
Okay, but that doesn't change which agenda you're running. I mean, that domes over Kings of Winter just as much. Like, that is a neutral argument.
I mean, you're going to, yeah, you can run into your Ravens, too. I mean, if you're not putting Carrion Birds in your deck and you're running a Seasons deck, you're probably an idiot.
Yeah, you're not winning much with Carrion Birds against
you're pulling a barrel.
Yeah.
But afraid of a splash of summer is there to neuter all winter decks, regardless of agenda or strategy. Like, it doesn't give preference to one with the other.
There's this giant threat that's in, like, with the King of Winter thing. Like, when winter first came back right after this, when King of Winter was first unrestricted, there wasn't that fear in Bloodthirst players, and this is largely meta. But in the meta, like, people don't run Ravens in these decks to counter Kings of Winter, especially. If Song of Ice gets prevalent, it becomes run immediately. Song of Ice tends to seem like this big threat. The real problem with Song of Ice has been that, like, you get this gigantic benefit from it really early, and the longer the game goes, the less useful it is.
I don't think that's true with the rivers. I don't. I think in most matchups that's the case.
The rivers do a lot of different things, and, like, it's been dismissed a lot, but I've used the return to top of deck and return to the top of dead pile every bit as much as I've used Mummers. And, like, I'll try and wait as long as humanly possible to use Mummers, knowing that, like, that'll be the big burst room where I'm ready to push for the win, especially if I'm playing something like Winter, or something I suspect has Rule by Decree. That'll be my plot six. Like, I'll Valar 5 and do that 6 just to make sure that, just to make sure that I have the cards when I'm ready to make a push, and that's usually when I'm about to make a push. I don't need to do that early and try and copy it 8 times, because I've already got Floodwater, so I can copy the reveal one. I've got my Bloodthirst agenda, so I'm getting 2 every turn. I end up with about, like, by plot 4 or 5, especially if I'm cycling, a lot more cards in hand, so I'm ready to rush.
Yeah, and Song of Ice at least counters that. At least hinders that somewhat. You can't just build up your hand size.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's not like you're just living the dream over here.
It mitigates. Now, I mean, not every deck is running the rivers right now, despite, you know, their prevalence. They feel like they're everywhere, but they aren't really everywhere. And I would say that the effectiveness of Song of Ice kind of has a plateau or a floor, depending on which direction you're looking at that from. Especially as that game goes on, like Aaron mentioned, if it's not a super duper, you know, drawsy deck, or, you know, draw in quotes for reveal and add to hand stuff, then that effectiveness tapers off. The effectiveness of Song of Ice, or dang, that's tough. Kings of Winter, on the other hand, doesn't have that same sort of taper against other types of decks. It's a bit more level, shall we say.
But you can swell over Kings of Winter. You can just outdraw it. There's no getting around the four cards of Song of Ice. If that is the season, I mean, it's going to happen, and there's little you can do to get around it. Whereas, like, Kings of Winter, it's like, I'm just going to draw three cards. I'll just draw cap myself. And, yeah, you can take one out, but I'm just going to keep overcoming that situation. I understand that the other winter effects help, but they help the other one just as much. I'd rather have the shot to keep the game manageable and expect play skill and the opportunistic moment to flip it than to try and catch gold on a draw or on your Kings of Winter pull and hope your rule by decree knocks them down and slows it up enough that you can win. I hate trying to live things on a one plot turn moment. Because if they beat it, they know you're toast.
I feel like we might just keep going around in circles ourselves on this particular branch of the topic. So it might be worth just letting listeners weigh in on that angle. Did you guys have anything related to the seasonal stuff that doesn't quite lead us back down this same path?
I think I do. For Song of Ice, a lot of the reason, and like I don't like it very much. I feel like it's very often a trap agenda for most decks. But when it does work, I feel like a lot of the way it works is in a really rushy way. Like, if you can weaken their hand and weaken their board to the point where, like, I don't like choke as a win condition. I think someone said that recently, but choke isn't, like, it's too easy to break. Like, it's too inconsistent and easy to break, and it has to be, otherwise it's an NP for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, a mild choke should let you claim with all the, like, all the Greyjoy stuff that claims power, all the Brazen stuff that claims power. It should allow you to be able to claim power very quickly, because they shouldn't have enough in hand, they shouldn't have enough available to slow you down. I think that's the real hidden strength of Song of Ice.
Yeah, you know the situation. You know the kind of gameplay they're going to have, because your opponent has a use-it-or-lose-it mentality. Those cards are going to go away if they're not going to see the field. So you can kind of take care of what's in front of you, because you know there's less hiding in their hand for you to have to worry about. It's easier to kind of know where the game is at and the situations you're going to encounter. Okay, so moving on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the majority of my seasonal thoughts was centered on those two, on the winter end of the scale at the moment. But there is still Kings of Summer, which we haven't really talked too much about now. And I believe some Targ Kings of Summer just did well. Top four, was that in the UK or was that Kubla? I feel like I'm getting them mixed up in my head.
UK, and then I think Atlanta came in second or third.
Okay.
As well.
Gotcha. So, I mean, that's seeing an upswing that used to be kind of one of the archetypal Targ things to add that card advantage to a house that typically didn't really have it much. So, I don't know, I just find it interesting to see that come back around. Not too surprising now that it was taken off the restricted list, but interesting nonetheless.
What's doing really well is more or less the TLV build. Like, I mean, someone is only knocking it down. Nate over in England keeps knocking it down to like 70 cards because that's how he is. But it's more or less just the TLV build, like trimmed down. It's like, hey, here's all that stuff we were doing. We were drawing 3 cards a turn. Let's do it now with a smaller deck and, you know.
And summer. Still draw 3 cards a turn.
Right. But the big difference is the plots were better back in the TLV because you didn't have to, you know, focus your plots quite as much on the summer situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe that does bring the seasonal discussion to a close then, unless you guys had any parting thoughts.
Very last thing for Targ Summer. I can never say his name, but Kranzis No Mozak or something along those lines.
Krasnys Monaklos?
Yeah, that dude, whatever his name is, he's about to get really good. There's a lot of powerful attachments coming out. He doesn't care what attachments you're using. If your meta gets overrun with attachments, he's just going to start stealing them. Like, take a good
long. Run your boy.
If it gets overrun with attachments, that's always the tricky part there.
Yeah.
Well,
also, go ahead.
The wardens are nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Cal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Song of Fire would be way better if they would reprint Counting Coppers. Do it!
Wow. Wow.
Right. Yeah.
That's my plug.
Alright, that's your cue. So yeah, let's call this Slaying the Mountain. I know that might be a little too soon for some listeners, including myself. But I think we should really, I think it'd be valuable and people would appreciate spending some time talking about decks in the meta that may be a little off the mainstream or maybe really popular at the time, things that you're most likely going to encounter this regional season that you need to have some answers in your deck for. I think it could be real handy to look at some popular builds, maybe some regional winners as those results start piling in, and seeing what we can do to take down these successful popular decks. The end.
The end. Okay, on to the next bit.
So now, what deck, guys?
Well, it sounds like this week we moved on from Martell over to Greyjoy. And despite it not turning in overwhelming tournament results so far, it still does get a fair bit of press. I definitely think I saw some grumbling that the UK Nationals were old way on old way for the finals, right?
Yeah, but that's just Dennis being a whiny bitch.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but...
But I...
Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Yeah. Think he'll fit right in. So, yeah, the old way, I think, will be this week's mountain. So, how would
what
you guys poison it?
Is.
Yeah. We can let it die screaming in the black cells for days. Spoiler alert from the books there. Sorry, guys. So, yeah. What do we do about it?
So, there's just natural predators to it, and it does really well, but it does really well when those predators aren't in the meta. Like, really good burn tends to beat the old way. Whatchamacallit? Stark, no agenda, anything wintry, stuff with Mirren, Brienne, that runs like one good plot for it, tends to beat the old way.
The blanking that they have
it's
available.
Handleable.
Oof. Yeah, shuts that down.
But then, you know, sometimes you walk into a national and no one meted for it, and then it mirror matches in the final.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, and I think I brought this up last week, and I probably will every week. It's one of those things that can be a negative play experience, but you bring it on yourself. Like Kate Tom always says, is a negative play experience because it truly is one, or because you let it happen or weren't prepared? And it's just something that's so, I mean, it's kind of different. It's so fueled by locations, and there aren't a lot of decks like that right now. Especially once Character Light was gone, everyone thought that those days were past and running, what's it?
Fleeing the Wall? Attack from the Sea.
Attack from the Sea, Fleeing the Wall, those kind of plots had now fallen away again because those kind of decks were gone, but it's just something that, like you said, you have to be prevalent. I think a phenomenal plot against it in that sees play against a wide variety of Burning Bridges. In our meta, that's seen quite a resurgence. And when it came out, I scorned it and would never run it, but I also loved tons of triggers. But I think it's a super solid plot right now with where the meta's at. And I think that's part of the trick is what can you run, and Aaron kind of brought this point up, is what can you run that's competitive and can be used in a wide variety of situations, but also can take care of what can be a problem matchup. Because if you just shoot for it, like, oh man, I'm going to destroy all the old way decks I run into, and you show up in your first three rounds, you don't play old way, well now you're 0-3 and it doesn't matter what you run into.
Yeah. I think a part of beating the old way that some people forget is that it does become a character. I mean, I don't know about your guys' playgroups, but our playgroup, one of the guys who plays the old way, or actually the majority of people who play the old way, but they kneel the old way, or they kneel Maiden's Bane, and they're just like, okay, adding this strength here. You know, it's not just like a global boost. It is becoming a character that is participating in that challenge. Obviously, blanking effects are good beforehand, before it's activated, because I'm pretty sure it would still keep that if you blanked it after they activate it, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I'm not a rules genius. Anyways, but things that could affect a character mid-challenge could be decent. Just the first thing that jumps to my mind, it just out of Martell naturally with, like, Gaston Grey or Game of Savas, something like that. The only game that matters.
Wait, what's your guys' favorite card? Come on. The one you guys complained about for a whole episode.
That we complained about for
new a whole event.
Burning Rise on the Sands.
Nope.
Oh, new Storming event. The Shore?
Nope.
No.
Oh, right. Because I think that is actually pretty handy.
You're talking about Breaching the Wall?
You murdered her children.
I didn't complain about that.
Oh, yeah.
You murdered her children.
Yeah, oh. All copies of that bitch.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
I guess I did complain about it for a while.
Yeah, hitting it with Mane's Bane might be one of the best uses for that card right now. If not the best.
Yeah. It's a really good use. I mean, a lot of those decks will find a way to bring Mane's Bane back, but that's still a good way to get rid of, at least put all three in the discard pile.
That position. From the couple that I've played, like, if you can get ahead on them early and even if you can just throw a wrench in their gears and it's temporary or stalls them out so their efforts have to be refocused on getting back to where they want to be, it's usually enough time for you to flip that game to your advantage.
Right. I mean, and Stark has obviously Frozen Solids. I like to run Freezing Rain. I hope I'm not the only one, but I still like that card at least one.
I've been hearing about people doing that.
Yeah, it's a great card. So, as far as answers at Targaryen, like, wallet's big, maybe not a lot of great answers. I mean, it all depends, I guess, on what your plot looks like and what your burn looks like in your hand. So, I mean, it's possible to smack it, I guess, but, you know.
Targ can just play the plots that get rid of it. Like, Targ Hollow Hill is fine with Dry Season. Like, if they were gonna run what's it called? Three influence, get rid of all locations. You know, favorable. They could perfectly well run Fleeing and just be like Fleeing unfavorable and your life sucks. But like Targ has options that aren't necessarily in their decks.
Yeah.
And I prefer the problem is that, like you said, right now cities, rivers, your plot deck's flexibility is not something a lot of decks have the luxury of running. So that's key to remember. But if you can, sticking at least one of these plots in, Dry Season, Fleeing, burning. What's the one that blanks everything?
Fortified position.
Fortified position. That's buys you a round.
Just characters.
Oh, it is just characters.
Yeah.
That's
but,
right.
A decent way to beat it, if you have a really big dude with renown that doesn't kneel, generally your really big dudes with renown that are good don't kneel, you attack with that character and then one chump and let them try and defend everything, and you just claim power more quickly than they can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think a lot of the bite went away now that we got the refugees back. Having cheap, expendable dudes easily available
That's
makes that
point.
A little less frightening than it once was. Now, I feel like you shouldn't suggest, hey, run the refugees, because, I mean, they're solid cards and they were restricted for a reason, and they do seem 95% of my decks. But there's something to remember. Like you said, something to play is send the Chud with them. You get to choose who dies. So
just be careful on defense, because if you have two guys, Claim and Old Way will go off.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just like Deadly.
Yeah.
I've done that to Viper before. That was depressing.
Oh no.
Alchemist Guildhall shut it down pretty well.
Yeah, I think it's still easy to forget that it can also hit locations.
Yeah.
Probably the That'll best work. Location control that Lannister has.
Till Old Wick comes out, right?
Yeah. Well, till Harrenhal comes out and the entire meta turns on its head.
that card is going to...
Oh, holy shit. How do you play control?
That's probably going to be an episode all on its own.
I've been freaking out for 2 months.
Yeah.
But hey, you have to have dudes to kill.
Yeah, but your aggro and tempo decks will have dudes to kill. They'll have refugees, they'll have, like, the extra zero-cost guy's Targ runs, extra zero-cost guy Lannister runs.
Targ is gonna... That's gonna suck.
And then they just get rid of all your shit. Like, you can't possibly control without it. As long as the player is good and knows what to cancel, I don't know how you try and control anymore.
Yeah.
Well, we also said that after this FAQ. That this FAQ and the golden age of aggro was upon us.
Well, that's all right. We can talk about all that. Let's get back to Old Way. that card's not out just yet, but it's going to be a huge bitch for everybody. I can't wait. Hey, you're Stark and you're having trouble with Old Way? Don't forget about Brina Tarth. Or Needle.
Actually,
Needle
yes.
works. So
I mean, Stark really probably has the most aggregate answers.
Now, Vera can use her, too. There you go, Vera. See, problem solved. Just kidding.
I mean, you probably should be running at least a one-off of Brienne. There are just so many triggers in the game right now, and with things becoming more challenge-based, she just becomes more and more powerful. Yeah.
If there was such thing as Vern, I'd run her in triplicate.
Whatever, dude. Yeah. Run her anyways. Edmure told me to put the dead version just back in the deck player again. It's all good.
I live in New York. There's a lot of burn. Like, it's not like I might see one or two burn decks. Like, five people are going to play burn, and they're all going to be really good.
So maybe you should have your fingers crossed for Harrenhal. You can just cancel the burn.
Things like Harpy Scourge. What, am I going to kill a guy for every negative one? They want to
Yep. Problem solved, man.
You know, it's funny you mention Harpy's Scourge, because I actually took my kind of janky Targ rush first draft to League Night this last weekend, and Harpy's Scourge actually gave me a bare shot against Old Way. I mean, you do still have to be making challenges out there, and if you've got efficient ways to affect challenge strength, you can still push some challenges through, even if they're still, you know, doing what they want to do with the warships and all.
If you have draw, it's an A card. If you don't have draw, it's just kind of there. But if you're drawing cards, oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
If only we had plots that would let us put an obscene number of cards in our hand.
FFG's wisdom is infinite.
Things that make you go, Anybody? That song? Figured yes. Daryl would be right there with me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Never mind. Four-year
time. CNC Music Factory. Took me a second, but CNC Music Factory. Right? Am I wrong?
I have no idea.
I do not remember the band. Or artist. Yeah.
Google knows.
Yeah. Google knows all.
Jesus, you're all so old.
Yep. Jeez, dude, I'm like 30 now.
Our average listener is probably 38 and... What else I say? Something. Working on their 401k?
Yeah, I think so. Alright, so anything else with Old Way?
If you build it, like, if you can figure out how to build it and you know your meta and you can handle other top decks and, like, their counters, 50% of the Greyjoy decks or something ridiculous like that that have made the cut this season have been Old Way decks. So if you know your meta well enough and you can pack counters, if you can figure it out, this is a deck that can win.
Yeah, I was just listening to that recently and checking that out. I believe Alex commented that it was indeed 50% of the decks that were being played as Greyjoy were Old Way, and then 50% of the decks that made the cut, sorry, that were Greyjoy were also Old Way. So that that ratio is bearing out as they progress through the tournament there. So it means it's still likely to see at the moment, I think.
But I think what practice has shown is that you don't need a ton of counter for this. Don't lean your deck so heavy into location hate. The location hate is phenomenal, and running it is super important. But just packing one silver bullet in an ideal form in one of the plots can usually slow them down enough. And just be very aggressive. I find that when I'm very aggressive with it early and you just try and bully your way along the first couple turns, that it goes much better. You kind of have to remember, it is a slow lock deck. Think of it as like the old Lady Shadows from back in the day, where things are just going to get worse for you as time goes on. There is no get better, swing this back. It is just going to get worse for you. So you have to come out with a much more aggressive mentality, regardless of what deck you're running, than what you normally would, and try and get ahead of the curve and stay ahead of it. So, yeah,
I would agree with that, I think. Yeah, even if you're playing a control deck of some form yourself, if it's, you know, say something more character-based, like Lanny Neal or something... Yeah, you're not going to win that control battle if you both sit there and try to draw that game out. You need to be willing and able to change that game plan against Old Way and go ahead and be the aggressive deck in that case.
And I can't believe we didn't say it, but no matter what your deck is, no matter what your house is, three nightmares aren't going to hurt you.
No, huh? That's useful against a wealth of decks.
Keep it in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, two nightmares is always dope. I mean, geez.
That card can win games by itself.
Oh, absolutely.
It is. It's something that I always struggle to fit in. I'm like, oh, all these other events are so impactful, and I forget. But every time I've included it, I've never regretted it. I've never been sad to draw it.
Yeah. It's really
a phenomenal
great.
Card right now.
I mean, it's the same. I mean, it's the same effect that makes. Oh god, Mirror Reads so good. You know, it's just it can just come out of nowhere at just the most inopportune moment for your opponent, and now their whole strategy has just been thrown off. Like, oh damn, I was banking on using this or whatever, whether it be a save or activating a character or even a character's keywords or something. I mean, even small things it can always come in handy.
A C when they need that like extra little bit for claim.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, just
so I mean, it's great. Or, you know, just the other day, an opponent was defending with Deadly, and I had a Deadly character attack. Well, then I just, boom, and that took some of his claim soak that he was going to have for the next challenge. So, I mean, all that stuff is just, it's money. Really good card.
I agree. Well, anything else on Old Way, or shall we wrap that and carry on?
Carry on, my wayward son.
This is the musical episode.
Dude, seriously, everybody, if you, it, like, right now, Northland Keep is, like, the sexiest card ever. In the Old Way matchup. Like, it'll come in handy a little bit in other games, but, I mean, that game, you just fucked them in the ass until Old Wick comes out.
There is no deck that that's not at least good against. Or, like, no good deck that that card isn't handy against.
Well, what's it do against Targ Burn?
The Harpy Scourge, they pump their guy up, you're just like, eh, fuck you.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, they can't pump with it anymore.
Oh, they'll pump, alright.
I mean, your worst case, you're just getting rid of refugees.
Yeah, honestly, at this point, I'm willing to put one in every deck. In lieu of the tournament coming up here. Like, I'm willing to do it. Willing to gamble, son.
All right.
What segment's after Daryl's ramble?
I think next we're going to return to the painted table and discuss our devious plans to dominate Westeros. The Springfield, Missouri League continues to truck on. We had our last week of the regular league, so Daryl and I got some more games in, and hopefully we got a little to talk about. Now, I think I'm going to go ahead and throw mine in first, unlike usual, and I'm going to say much of mine I've already discussed during the seasonal discussion, because the deck I played the most in the league this weekend and in a few side games against Zyler the next day was this Greyjoy Kings of Winter. I have to say I was very happy with its performance. It went, I think it was 6-0, if I'm remembering the number of games right. Still a small sample size, still a rough draft, but I've got a few ideas in mind to tweak it, like, say, including Preston, that I think is going to be a good move. I'm also really thinking about going ahead, dropping in the Inn of the Kneeling Man, which I did not have before, because it works so nicely with Alanis. And then going ahead and also slotting in at least one copy of Ghost of High Heart and just work at stripping their hand even more. I mean, obviously they get to redraw after you use the Ghost, but...
I had a mean idea.
Yeah.
You'd be really cool with that because you share a C. Lancel. Not Lancel, the new one, Podrick.
Oh, go ahead with Podrick. Ooh, yeah. That's not a bad idea with all that discard. And it's till end of round, right?
Yep.
Ooh, you know, that's just twisted enough to be kind of fun. With the discarding I'm doing, if I can hit the discard from the agenda and then hit at least two more in the challenge phase, then they're zeroed out. That could really cause problems for some decks. I kind of like that.
It ruins Bloodthirst life.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
I wish I didn't say that. Now.
Yeah. There's a thought. Aside from that, I also threw together that janky Tark Rush
deck. I have nothing
deck.
Interesting to report. I've given up, but I think I've decided I'm just going to run Bruno's deck from Kubla at Illinois. So, yes, everyone. That's
you scumbag. Not
my plan.
What kind of a guy builds a deck that John Bruno won a tournament with and then takes it to the next tournament he can go to?
Well, Zyler.
Oh, wait.
In all fairness, I have tried desperately to inspire myself into something, and I just... Everything I play, I'm like, nah. Nah, this isn't doing it for me. I don't know. I got nothing. So I'm sure this will change, but right now, that's where I'm at. It's
when's Illinois? Gone.
2 weeks from now.
Okay.
A week from this episode. When this airs, it'll be 8 days away.
talk to me after this week's New York regional, because I might have a gift for you.
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just haven't... I've built some stuff, but none of it's been anything where I'm like, this can consistently take down River decks, or this can consistently take down...
Man, it's almost like the meta's wide open.
No, but it's not. Like, those are... Well, they're popular decks right now that seem to just kind of beat in the face of whatever I try and build. So, like, I'm like, oh, I can take down 80% of matchups, but it's going to, like, just get shat on for these two, and those are the two decks you just can't... I refuse to lose to right now.
Yeah.
Martell
River Bloodthirst is a real bane.
Yeah.
I'll agree with
that. So I have nothing interesting to report. If you would like to see the deck that I'm talking about, Bruno's already posted it on Aegon Cards. So,
I've built a couple of decks. I did end up building Stark Knights, and I built pure Stark so that I could run Bear Island.
Oh, yeah.
It's been money. It was money over the last weekend. I still don't know if it's better than using like some Kingsguard or just some other neutral knights or what have you. It just depends. Right now, at least, you know, it's pretty good. It's just not great. I mean, there's only 13 knights in the deck, and that's all that Stark has. I put every single one, even those garbage ass Knight of the Red Fork. They have to be in there, and on setup they can be awesome, but it's not a lot of knights. You're absolutely right, it's not. But it's working for the most part. It was 2-0 whenever I did play it. So Bear Island is money. Obviously, in a mirror match or against Stark, it is useless. But if you're not playing Stark, it's awesome. And just with all the kill events, you know, I dive, 3 Die by the Swords, 3 No Quarters, Mirror Reads in there. So it's all money. And then I also built Lanny Power Behind the Throne, which I only got to play once against Will, and I found a way to lose that game as hard as I could. It was a super, super close game, but I still liked the deck as a whole, and it was not a carbon copy by any means, but definitely highly inspired by Kyle's Power Behind the Throne deck, which I don't know where you got it from or if you brewed that yourself or whatever, but for the most part, I mean, it's the same general idea. Try to give Cersei renown and just start rocking dicks and bring out Frey Hospitality, and then it really starts rolling, so... It was all right. I just didn't win the one game I got to play with it, but I was piloting it.
Rush is also not a bad counter to both of these decks we've talked about the last 2 weeks. I think Rush does a good job, if you can, against Bloodthirst or the Martell Rivers, and I think it does a pretty decent job against the Old Wave if you can get out fast enough before they can get set up. So, yeah, Rush builds for anyone out there who's like, oh, I just need something to do. Rush has not been viable in a competitive setting, it seems like, in quite some time. So I'm definitely curious to see some sprinters out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Rush is great, too, but it also, I think Power Behind the Throne right now isn't being played enough. It's still a really good agenda. I mean, you get to make 2 intrigue challenges, bro. 2! Run some 2 plots, well. Run some Neil. Sure. It's what?
It's been placing well. It's been doing the best of anything. Yeah.
Okay, well, good.
Power Behind the Throne is the throne. Well.
So, Power Behind the Throne is the tits. Put it up there with Bloodthirst. Bloodthirst is, right now is in a bad spot, I think, as a whole. But the Old Way, though potent, I don't know if it's necessarily in a bad spot. I think it's doing, you know, what they want it to do. And Restricting Maiden's Bane is a great... whatever I want to say, balancer, whatever. So, yeah, that's pretty much the 2 new decks that I had, and then I have that same shitty Bear Knights of the Realm deck that I should dismantle, but whatever.
You should make that work.
I should make it work?
No, make it Martell Baratheon.
Martel Barra?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen people talking about that, and I haven't tried that.
That's so gross.
Really? So gross. Dude, yeah. Throw me a list, bro. I'll build it up.
Yeah, no problem.
So, but that's what I've been doing, and we're getting ready for a tournament this weekend, and I'm not telling you guys what I'm going to build because I got to play Will.
No, all right.
Probably Stark Knights. It's really good. It's got everything you need right now.
Props and slops.
Yeah. Slop and prop.
Let's do it.
All right. How about that TV show? Holy crap, this episode was brutal, huh?
Right? Sherlock is the best.
Yeah, I love that show. I saw that really season 3 is on Netflix now. I'm going to have to rewatch it.
It's on Netflix, and I bought it because I was like, you guys deserve my money.
Yeah, they really do. Except I'm too lazy.
Amazon exists. You don't have to do anything but click it twice.
That's a good point, and I do have Amazon Prime.
Me too.
Yeah, well, it's addictive. It's a problem. I'm going to both prop and slop Amazon Prime right now.
Ooh.
Good call. Well, yeah. Prime Instant Video, so it's a prop.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, not only do you get free shipping, you also get random, like, free TV, and, like, they have all the Comedy Central stand-up stuff for free, which is pretty great.
Nice. I do like me some stand-up. So, about that other show, though, that Game of Thrones show, spoilers for the episode, what was the title, The Mountain and the Viper?
It was.
Yeah. So, in case anybody didn't figure that one out yet, that fight did not go well. At least, not so much for the Viper in the end. It made me so sad, like... The Viper's probably my second favorite character in the novels, right behind Jaime. And his death is so depressing to me. And seeing it again, even though I knew it was coming, it was still depressing all over again. Like, somehow, for some reason, when I was watching it, like, it felt like the scene drug out a little longer than it was supposed to in my head. And for a minute or so, I was like, oh man, are they gonna change this? Are they really gonna do that? And I couldn't decide. I'm like, is that terrible because they're ruining, you know, things by diverging from the books? I was like, or is that amazing because I love the Viper and I want to see what King's Landing is like with the Viper still there? And then he crushed his head in like this. And I was like, oh, never mind. Also, this is really gruesome and I don't want to watch. So, yeah, there's the largest chunk of my thoughts in that episode. Though I've got others. I'll let you guys pipe in if you want. I'll take that as a no.
I wept like a babe.
I still haven't seen it yet.
Oh, whoops.
Oh, way to go, Daryl.
Spoiled that, no. Daryl.
No, I knew what happened to the Red Viper. Come on.
Yeah.
The whole reason I'm okay with it is because the game gives me hope that the Viper will live forever. I mean, like...
Touché.
They're clearly, next episode, they're just going to play River Plots and come back to the top of their deck, so...
See? Don't worry. There we go. They're going to play Blessed by the Maiden, no problem.
Shuffle all be well. No, actually, they're just going to smash Beatles. Kung, kung, kung.
Man. I'm not sure how I felt about that scene.
I think end, I disliked it. I assume it was just a meditation on futility, but the scene itself felt so futile that I just got bored and disliked it.
I liked it. Even with it, I liked it. I mean, you see what he's going at, and I mean, the interesting play on, I mean, Tyrion, who's full of wit and intellect and always has a comeback for everything. He's in a moment where he feels like, okay, I finally lost. Like, this is it. And it's just him being real and talking about, I mean, just, it's funny when you think of it, like, these, in a sense, this is his dying words. And Tyrion's kind of getting his last kind of hurrah. moment in his mind. And from that perspective, I thought it was interesting. I'm like, this is actually kind of, I dig it. And you kind of get what he's trying to say and on, you know, this like senseless violence and all these Beatles are dead and there's no reason for it and kind of a, what does it all mean? The meaning of the cosmos and the life of a Beatle kind of situation. And I thought it was good. I thought it was good. I mean, it took me a minute first, like, okay, where are we going with this? But I dug it as it went along.
I liked it a lot at first, but, like, I feel like the lesson that he explains at such length is one that the Starks have explained a lot better than a bunch of Beatles getting perfunked.
That's actually a fairly good point there.
Like, I think Arya did the exact same lesson with a laugh that same episode.
Yeah, oh, that was a good scene. Her laugh was infectious.
That was really good.
I don't even know her real name, but she's like my favorite thing in the world.
Maisie Williams?
Sure. Her.
Yeah. Sure. That can be her name today. We'll go with it. We don't know any better.
That is indeed the actress's name. But yeah, that was good. The Sansa scene, though it was a divergence from the novels, I actually really dug. That is the kind of trial type scene. The one where she came out with dyed hair and this costume that looked like a reject from the Star Wars prequels. That was weird.
But good. She was almost worth a damn. I felt like she was trying really hard to be worth a damn.
I hate the Starks. Like, every Stark that's not Arya can just go straight to hell. They're the worst.
I liked Rob.
Rob brings everything on himself. There's no Stark who doesn't cause all their own misfortune.
Does Jon Snow count as a Stark? I like Jon Snow.
He starts acting like one, and that's why.
And that's his problem.
Yeah. That's why his problems. And we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. So that's mainly my discussion on that.
More props and or slops?
Yeah. Go right ahead.
I want to slop, and I like both of these guys a lot, but I'm going to slop the shit out of Dennis and Simone because they were supposed to be at New York, and I was supposed to be like the sixth best player there. And now I'm like the third or fourth, and that's bullshit. Like, don't get my hopes up that I'm going to get my ass kicked by good players and then not show up. Show up, beat me down, and go back to your nice little homes.
Wow. See, I've got the opposite problem. I thought our regional was going to be easier than normal because Zyler can't get the day off of work, and Greg was kind of on the outs with the game. But now Greg has, like, bought all the cards to catch back up. He's built, like, 8 decks. He's playing games and seems way more jazzed up than he had been. And Bruno has said he's probably coming. So I'm like, well, great. Now what are my odds?
So jealous.
Yeah.
Ouchie.
Slightly worse than mine.
6-0 deck.
Yeah? We'll see if that holds up.
I don't know. I just want to play with really good players.
Well, there's still time, Aaron. Fly on out here. I'll even go pick you up at the airport in Springfield.
I wish. I've got the Florida regional. Then I've got England the week after. I'm going to England for their,
I forgot. With Sandy, right?
Yeah, for their road to South with Sandy. Then the week after, my wife doesn't know this yet, and she's sitting behind me, so if you hear a slap, the Canadian thingy might be happening. Ooh. And then the week after that is Gen Con.
Oof.
So, I don't think I can actually quite fit any more travel.
Be a bro, not a bitch.
No, I'm going to be a bitch.
Just kidding.
Well, there's always
more traveling than me.
Oh. I'm a teacher. It's summer. It's beautiful.
Yeah, jealous.
And, Will, you have something to prop, but you're not going to think of it, so.
You're right. Episode 4. What's that?
Episode 4.
Oh, yeah, of The Wolf Among Us. Yeah, I played through that this last weekend, and it was very good. I continue enjoying the Telltale Games stuff. It still felt kind of short to me. I don't know if I have not been timing them, so I don't know if they're actually getting shorter with each episode, or I'm just getting more into it, so each one feels shorter. But go ahead and go check that out if you've not. I don't want to say much else because part of this particular game is kind of a noir murder mystery type thing, so if I say much, I may accidentally spoil something.
Those games are amazing. Just being the big bad wolf is phenomenal.
Yeah. Whatever. You get to choose if you want to try and be, you know, Bigby who's trying to be the sheriff, or if you want to just play the big bad wolf.
Or if you just want to rip people's arms off and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that scares me because Kristen played episode one and definitely, no hesitation, ripped the arm off. And I was like, oh my. Well, this tells me something about you.
Oh, my.
Move to Springfield while you have two arms.
Yeah. Exactly. Anybody else got anything? Daryl?
Jeez, I'm trying to think. Did I already prop picking up East of West last week?
Yes.
I can't remember.
Yes.
Ah, damn. Well, there that goes. I don't think I have anything.
He wrote all sorts of good stuff. Like, I can give you a list. I'm a giant comic geek. Check out, like, Pax Romana. Same author, I believe. I think it's still Hickman. Great stuff.
Okay.
Awesome. Glad to have another comic geek around so that I don't feel like I'm just losing everyone when I prop something comic-related.
And I know that, like, comics, I guess it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really count as reading. But I will say, I am enjoying not staring at television as much. Let's just put it that way. There's just something about turning a page that is enjoyable.
I think it counts as reading depending on what comic it is. East of West probably counts.
Yeah.
All right, then. Well, there we go. See, I'm reading.
Kyle, you got anything, bro?
I have a prop to wedding planning. And I'm supposed to ask, even though Kristen already said yes, but Will, do you want to, like, read at my wedding? Because that'd be cool.
Read?
Yeah, like, read stuff. Apparently we need readers.
Sure.
And Danny's like, you and Kristen should read.
Okay.
And Kristen already accepted on behalf of both of you. I said that's shit, and that we're men, and we make
our own decisions.
Yeah. Oh, we sure do.
So I would actually have two jobs in your wedding. I would be both Red Wedding Tournament TO, and I would get to read something.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Holy shit. Can I be the Bolton at your wedding?
No. No Bolton.
No Bolton's allowed?
Or phrase.
I don't know. I think that would be pretty amazing if just like in the middle of the ceremony, you know, instead of this, no, she can't marry in business, if somebody, say Aaron, just like burst into the room and yelled like, Lord Tywin sends his regards. It'd be amazing.
And then
we are having the groomsmen walk into a non-vocalized Reigns of Castamere, because if you don't listen to it closely, it sounds kind of pretty, and no one should be there really yet. So just make some Thrones people in the crowd nervous.
Nice,
I like it.
There's even a balcony. Like I could put crossbowmen up there if I really wanted.
Yes, you should probably do that.
I will go out and buy a crossbow tomorrow.
Daryl has all this money now since he's not paying Zyler back.
Yeah, now he can buy medieval.
Oh, well, I'm gonna need a loan ski for that crossbow. Those are expensive.
But so, he has no intention of paying back.
So, Will, I need a favor.
I'll see what the bank can do. How's your credit score?
Oh, 720?
Oh, well, okay then.
Like that, you guys know what that means.
So what do you need this loan for? A crossbow.
We just
don't see how that's much of an investment on our part.
Well, you're going to take it places and do things.
I mean, I'm busy thinking about how excited the collections department will be if they get to go repossess a crossbow.
Don't take
that
my crossbow.
True.
Yeah.
You can probably get on TV for that.
You
could. Stand off outside apartment. man with crossbow hold up in the bathroom. It'd be great.
Yeah, I can see that on the next episode of Max X or something.
Yep.
Okay.
I have another prop. Valerian Steel just announced that they are, like, in writing, it says they're working on Oathkeeper both for the show and, more importantly, book versions.
Huh, okay.
They just renewed their book license, and they mentioned the next two they have up are from the books, I believe, are Oathkeeper and Dario's Ladies.
Oh, the daggers. Awesome.
Yeah, the naked chicks on the hilts.
Nice.
All right. My next cosplay idea, Dario.
Yeah, so for those of you who want to know what FFG is going to give you for winning overall at Gen Con in 5 years, probably one of those two things.
Probably not the ladies.
Or they'll just keep giving more and more Warhammers till we're just... Maybe that's what this will be. It'll be like the Septs getting weapons. Those FFG is slowly giving it to elite players Robert's Warhammer so that we can become militant.
Hey, I want to slap something now because that reminds me. I want to slap winning Joust in Gen Con because you should still get a card for that. That's bullshit.
Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah.
Because I hate melee.
Now that that's the case, I'm sure... I'll put money down, I'll win one of those events.
Probably so.
I'd be like, if I could have done this 3 years ago, my ass is on a card, but now gets like a statue and smash a watermelon.
I mean, it just gets to a point, I guess, where you have so many people creating so many cards a year. I can see that being a hassle.
Fun? See that being fun?
I think the bigger slop is to the fact that the events got moved this year.
Oh, yeah,
so the
Thursday, Friday. Moves. That's awful.
Because it's kind of iffy whether I am going to be able to make it to Gen Con. And if the one plan doesn't pan out, there's the emergency backup plan where I fly out Friday evening to Indianapolis and go ahead and hang out for... you know, a day and a half or whatever, and then ride back with Springfield people on Sunday.
Shit.
Apparently you're supposed to tell you to drive up to here and meet with Danny Friday night and then truck over with her.
Oh, she's not coming till Friday?
That is the case.
Gotcha.
But we should not probably make coordinating Gen Con plans on the podcast.
Yeah.
But,
that's
a
different
issue.
But with the old schedule, I could have at least done that and still, like, stumbled into Joust the next morning. But now, like, there is zero way for my emergency plan to get me there in time for Thrones. So,
no,
that kind of sucks.
And the beer bus brew tours are only on Thursday, Friday. I can't drink. I have to choose.
Wow.
Ugh.
Wow, that
hurts.
That's heavy.
Dude, we're going to get ultra drunk.
Probably my favorite event last year. Probably my favorite event last year is that brew bus.
I didn't even know there was a brew bus.
Last year was the first year they did it, and it was real exclusive. There were only, like, maybe 40 tickets total.
Wow.
Oh. Ooh.
It was real small, but this year there's
bet
a bunch.
Shit don't
they're all stink
now.
Thursday and Friday. And so I can't do them. I was sad.
What's happening Thursday? Is it Melee on Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
I'll play it because I got nothing better going on.
I just legitimately enjoy Melee.
I do, too. I have no problem with it. I'll probably just bring the dragons I took to Worlds. I mean,
I'll probably end up changing my mind and do it anyways.
You will, Daryl.
I mean,
you will.
It happens. Except for this time, I'm bringing decks just in case.
That seems like a really smart idea.
Yeah. Way to go, Daryl.
Yeah, you won't hear that when referring to me very often. Hey, sometimes. Okay, fuck it.
A thing we should do, now that I'm part of Wii, is we should, like, keep track of which players are going to Gen Con and shit, and, like, let everybody know.
Which
pretty,
what?
Like, which, like, bigger players. Like, it's pretty cool to know, like, hey, is Bruto coming to Gen Con this year? Stuff like that, without having to search and try and figure it out.
I mean, I always know who's coming, so.
Sure you
welcome
do, Daryl.
Welcome to the know, my son.
Yeah, they tweet us and post on our live journal.
That's right. Well, they have us on LinkedIn.
You're Sangha?
So no big deal. Yeah. I mean, I get a dick pic from Bruno every other day, so.
I honestly believe that.
I wish it was less believable.
It really does happen.
Yeah, it does.
I thought it was odd that he had, you know, mathematical symbols tattooed on his Johnson, but that way you at least know it's his.
Yeah, sometimes I just look at my phone, I'm like, is that a baby holding an apple? No. That's John Bruno.
You know, I think that is definitely a sign that it's time to go ahead and wrap this week's show.
Yeah, how do we end episodes? Because we need to.
Because I think Daryl probably ought to give us the rundown on that again.
Well, if you want, you could email us at twochampsonechump@gmail.com.
You have one
job. You can like our Facebook. What?
Said you have one job, Daryl.
I have one job, and I fucked it up. God damn you, Bruno's penis. God damn. Okay.
I'm not used to what you scream at his penis.
You're never there. No, anyways, you can like our Facebook page, facebook.com/twochampsonechump. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/twochampsonechump. Go ahead, follow our Twitch page. Eventually, we will start rocking and rolling on that. twitch.tv/twochampsonechump. Is that everything? Google Plus still exists. No one blames you. So that's it for the show. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to email us, message us on Facebook if you have any ideas or any type of stat of some kind that may be interesting. I don't know. If you've got whatever. If you just want to tell us how much we suck, go ahead. Facebook message us. We'll reply. I promise. Danger zone!
So I think we're on to our next topic. This one. Okay, sorry, I thought you were about to say something.
God, I wish this is why I wish we had video.
This is like, the one downside to Skype phone calls. Maybe we'll all get awesome internet sometime.
That's right. 28 down and 6 up, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish.
Dude, I'm living the dream over here.
Yeah. Boy, I wish too.
4 down and sad face up.
Well, half a sad face. The other half never arrived.
It never loaded?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still loading. Like, GIF images just won't load.
Ouch.
It's sad. It's so bad.
That's terrible. You know, GIFs were invented in, like, 93, right?
Yeah, I watched Thrones on my phone with the off the 4G.
Oh,
man.
A million times faster than my internet.
Don't blame you.
I do not envy you.
No one does.
Should we give it?
No one does.
Yeah, let's rock out.
Okay, we'll give that another try. 3, 2, 1. So the next segment is actually, I think, an offshoot of last week's bit about playing against Martell. That was Kyle's idea there, and I think we've decided to revise that idea a little bit. Kyle came up with a sweet little name for us and a better focus so that we can make that a recurring segment. So Kyle, why don't you tell us what that is? Did we lose Kyle?
My mic's... Give me a sec.
He's finishing. they're we'll clinching as hurry. We speak. Oh, Danny, yes.
I muted my mic for a second, and it wouldn't unmute. I'm like, I'm here.
God.
I know.
It's rules.
My mic is muted. All right. Let's try this one more time.